This is 69, the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 69 has been covering the digital signage industry since the dawn of man, first online and now as a podcast. This podcast gives me the time to really talk to people about technology and issues, get past the PR and jargon, and into what stuff actually means. I try to help listeners understand why they should care. The podcasts are free and I try to get a new one out weekly, but I travel a lot so sometimes I'll miss a week. The 69 podcast has been gratefully sponsored and supported since the start by Jeremy Gavin and the fine folks at ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful looking, totally automated content for signage and digital out-of-home networks. Check them out at screenfeed.com. In the before times, when we did nutty things like fly on airplanes and walk around in crowds, I went to ISE back in February in Amsterdam and made a point of stopping by the small stand of a company called Wallboard. An industry friend had suggested I check them out, so I popped by and had what turned into a lengthy demo. I walked away impressed and amused, thinking, these guys are mad scientists. Wallboard is a digital signage content management system just like countless other systems on the market. What distinguishes them is a focus on IoT devices and data integration. The demo I had, thinking way back, involved a Wayscale and Booz as part of an access control system for factories. It all speaks to where this whole idea of dynamic digital signage is going. I spoke with Rod Robertson, the co-CEO of the company, which has a sales and marketing office in Dallas. Most of Wallboard's staff, 40 or so people, the developers and the mad scientists, work in an office outside of Budapest, Hungary. Rod, thank you for joining me. Can you give me a background on Wallboard? I know you guys, I've seen you at one trade show, but I wonder how many people in the general ecosystem know much about you.
Yeah, sure. Well, thanks for having me, Dave. So Wallboard is a digital signage CMS software platform. You know, I would say that, you know, we do, or the platform does, you know, most things you would expect for traditional CMS, you know, managed screens, managed content. But what we really focus on is building a platform that allows our users to, you know, really build some advanced content through the use of our content editing tools, our integrations with live data and IoT sensors, and our ability to easily integrate with third-party systems so that we can interact with some of the business process workflows that are inherent within those systems.
The company is in Dallas, but there's a big component of it in Hungary, right?
Yeah, so the company was actually started in 2012 by my partner, Robert Simon. He's based near Hungary, near Budapest, Hungary. You know, he started the company back then, you know, spent about 3 or 4 years building up the platform, you know, building the development team, took it to market in Europe, basically in 2016. And then we met in 2017. I, at the time, was running a AV division of a family-owned company. And we were looking to build out a digital signage service product offering, and we were really struggling to find the right software partner for that. So met Robert, you know, a lot of the boxes checked, and we actually just started as a reseller. But, you know, one thing led to another. He was looking for an investment partner, had, you know, hooked up with a few venture capital firms in Europe. But I was able to convince him that we would be a better investment partner for him because we were strategic. You know, we were talking to end users on a day in, day out basis. And so we formalized that partnership in 2018. And then that led to, you know, him saying, hey, I really need a day-to-day business partner to help me with sales and marketing. So I joined him full time, joined with him full time in 2019. So sales and marketing really run out of the Dallas office. And then, you know, he's running the tech team outside of Budapest.
The company is in Budapest versus Dallas.
I would say, you know, we've got probably, we're close to 40 employees, full-time employees, and we got 7 here in the state. So majority of our company is really full-time developers. We got 25, 26, 27, somewhere in that range of full-time developers that sit there in Veszprém, Hungary.
Okay. Is that about 8 hours difference?
It's seven hours.
Okay. So you've got to juggle your days quite a bit.
I do. You know, it's been an experience in terms of, you know, what my days look like now. You know, I'm typically up pretty early and, you know, at least part of the part of the internal work day is almost over at about 10 o'clock. But yeah, it's a different work-life balance than I was used to before.
Now, what was it that attracted you to Form versus the 5,000 other ones that are out there?
You know, one of the things we were looking for was just the flexibility to own our own backend. You know, so one of the interesting things about Wallboard is it's a distributed server infrastructure. So, you know, we've got 40, 45 global partners out there, and I would say the majority of them, you know, run their own servers. And so they really control that backend, which was an important piece to us. You know, in addition to that, I just really love the flexibility of the system and the ability to do some more advanced things. I mean, I do think that, you're right. You know, it's a crowded space, when it comes to just, you know, traditional digital media playback applications. But I think when you start to talk about more advanced things like data integrations, IoT sensor integrations, and the ability to start to create more dynamic content, content that reacts to the environment or reacts to something else that's happening versus just here's a playlist and I'm playing it, that's when I think the space gets a little less crowded. And you know, that's originally what excited me about Wallboard.
Okay. So when you say a distributed server setup, does that mean if I'm a reseller in up here in Canada, I don't know if you have one up here, but are you basically enabling them to be a to white label your platform?
That's correct. So they can white label it. And a lot of our have a mix. We've got partners or resellers that completely white label the system, and that's very important to them. So they can do that. We also have ones that say, hey, I want to leverage your marketing. I want to leverage the Wallboard knowledge base. And so I still want to be Wallboard, but I still want control of that server environment. So, you know, we allow them to do that. And then that allows them to do a lot of administrative things on their end in terms of customizing the settings. They can customize the security aspects of the system, and they can create some custom programming that is very unique to their specific server.
So if you're doing it that way, are you then selling basically a license to these partners, or can you still get Wallboard as a service directly from you or from your partners and pay a monthly license per node?
Yeah, so to the end user, it looks about the same. I mean, most of all of ours are selling the same way, which is an end user license per node, like you said. Mm-hmm. From a reseller's perspective, you know, we have partners that say we don't want to do that. You know, we're not, you know, we don't want to manage our own IT infrastructure. So we have servers in the US and in Europe where, you know, partners, certainly new partners, can come on, test our system, put a few licenses on the system. But I would say our more serious partners, you know, end up gravitating toward their own server environment.
Would these be your customer base? Would they be a little bit different from the standard customer base of a lot of CMS platforms that go after a small to medium business, or they chase a particular vertical, but it's kind of a general offer? You're talking a lot about IoT, and it sounds like increasingly specific and quote unquote complicated applications.
It's an interesting, I think that, you know, we've got sort of a little bit of mix of both. You know, we've got the resellers that are very much more traditional AV integrators. You know, they're interested in selling to the small and medium enterprise. You know, they're selling meeting rooms and conference room technology and all that other AV stuff, and they're just bolting on digital signage as an additional offering. Mm-hmm. But more and more, as we get more advanced, you know, we've got different kinds of partners that are, you know, into retail technology. And so they are very interested in IoT sensors. Some of our partners that are just selling into the corporate environment, you know, not so much. Same thing kind of goes with data integration. I mean, the partners that we have that are really into the contact center space, I mean, they are very focused on that particular part of our platform. So it really kind of runs the gamut in terms of, you know, what is the partner, what's their customer base look like? And that kind of drives, you know, what they're interested in from a platform perspective.
Right. So let's say 5 years ago, you pretty much had to go to a somewhat specialist platform, data modules built in, and had already written connectors, and it was his own thing. But data has got fairly accessible now, and doing, like being able to take different data feeds from different systems isn't that technically hard in certain respects, but I assume it gets a lot harder when you get into specialized IoT sensors that maybe don't have a whole platform and APIs behind them.
Yeah. So, you know, that's where, you know, what we've done is we've partnered with a company called N5 Stack, and they've got a microcontroller that's a nice little piece of equipment that you can connect a bunch of different types of sensors into that little microcontroller computer. So digital, analog, sensors with various different other communication protocols. So we've written firmware on that microcontroller that can talk to our CMS. So at that point, you know, I can take basically any sensor integrated into that microcontroller that acts as almost the go-between the sensor itself and, you know, our CMS that's triggering content.
If I think back all the way to the before times when you could go out and meet people and all that, I went to and got a demo from Robert and walked away from that after 20, 25 minutes, kind of amused, thinking, these guys are mad scientists. Because they were showing me all these crazy sensor integrations. Could you describe some of the business applications that you're doing?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's early. So, you know, we're still looking into various different use cases. But I think that one of the demos that you probably saw there in Amsterdam, we've got a partner that doesn't really have a digital signage background at all. He's a security consultant. And so, you know, he recognized a need in these large factories. In his case, Eastern Europe, but there's large factors with these workers that go in and out of these things. And there's a lot of different things that need to occur for them to get through sort of the entry gates, right? So they've got questions that need to be answered. They need to specifically ID themselves. They want to make sure that, you know, they're not stealing products and services. And so there needs to be something there in terms of a live security person to check that. They want to check, you know, alcohol content.
Oh, that's right. I remember that one now.
Yeah. And I don't think it was not in the demo back then, but certainly now we've added a temperature check. So, So, you know, previously there was a need for like 7 or 8 of these security guards because you've got 25,000 workers, you know, coming in 3 different shifts. We were able to essentially write, you know, with our software, build a completely business process utilizing all these sensors. So you essentially walk up to a kiosk, you step on a scale, you RFID badge into it, you answer a few questions, you blow on the alcohol breathalyzer, you know, you get your temperature taken, and if you're good to go, you know, you're off into the space. If you're not, there's an alert that gets triggered, and you know, and now we've got 2 security guards versus 7, so there's a serious ROI in terms of reducing the labor force needed to get through this process. And then on the back end of that, they weigh you again, such that if you're, you know, 10 pounds heavier, they know that something's up. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think that's an interesting application. We've got, you know, a couple others. We're doing some proof of concepts here on the East Coast. We've got a major retailer where, you know, they've got a 6x1 display, and they're displaying all sorts of various different types of content. And the original idea was to have buttons underneath the displays and a physical display so that the visitors could go and say, you know, I want to look at the Michelin tires, or I want to look at the AT&T services that you're offering. And they would have to touch these buttons. Well, COVID hits and all of a sudden they're saying, well, you know, what can we do to make this more contactless? So instead of having a physical button there, we placed an IR sensor, and we basically tuned that IR sensor so that it only gets triggered if your finger gets within, you know, 2 centimeters, 3 centimeters from the sensor itself. So we were able to mimic that button experience with an IR sensor to actually trigger the content. So, you know, things like that. I think the retail space is really interesting for those IoT sensor applications. I think there are some other ones with meeting room signs in the corporate environment that we're kind of tinkering with. So again, early, but we're really excited about the things we can do, and it's opening up a lot of conversations. You know, I mean, these are conversations people say, well, can you do this? Or this is my business need, you know, what can you do? And that's where the mad scientist comes in, and Robert goes back into his his work area, and, you know, comes out with some crazy ideas.
I assume that some of what you described, like the access control and weighing and testing for whether they have alcohol in their breath, those are systems that if you went to a big national company, think of a few, they would say, sure, we can do that. And it would probably cost $75,000 a unit or more.
Right.
There are, as you're describing with that company, you can buy sensors for, like, they don't cost much at all, do they?
No. I mean, you know, certainly, like, you know, button sensors, those things, I mean, you're talking dollars, you know? So again, I mean, there's some costs in terms of some of that customization, but we were able to dramatically reduce the amount of customization we have to do because it's all built on our core platform. And and we're reducing a lot of the custom coding that has to happen because we've built these interfaces so that we can, you know, graphically say, okay, when this happens, you know, trigger this content, or when this happens, trigger that. So that's a lot of if-then type stuff that's in our interface, as opposed to actually having to hard code that in a program.
Yeah, I'm a huge believer in data-driven signage as a scheduled, predetermined long in advance signage that just kind of is just rolling through stuff. But I assume that it's still a challenge to get not only partners, but particularly end users over the line in terms of understanding that this is possible and not crazily complicated, and that they could manage it and maintain it on a fairly easy basis.
I think you're right. I mean, that is a challenge. And, you know, that's our sales process to, you know, show these things and show specific use cases. You know, I mean, one of the things we've done, you know, post-COVID was we built this desktop broadcast app so you can, you know, essentially, you know, have some digital signage on your desktop itself. And that really, you know, everyone starts to really get excited about KPIs and all this other stuff. Now we have to get to the data, right? So there's some way for us to get to whatever it is they want to display. But showing how easy it is to manage that data, we can do it in a simple Google Sheet, right? So it doesn't have to be some, you know, massive complex, you know, database or Salesforce connector. We can do that too. But even starting with baby steps starts to get people to understand what is possible. And then that really gets the ball rolling in terms of, hey, you know, this would be really cool and would be valuable to communicating this specific type of information, you know, especially to a remote workforce.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. Now, I'm not put off by the fact that you're not listening to this podcast to hear me. Just like audiences to any digital signage, you give your attention to content you find interesting or helpful. That's where my company ScreenFeed comes in. Our sole mission is to make your digital signage network more valuable by making content that is more valuable to your audience. If you'd like to drive more attention to your screens, visit ScreenFeed.com to explore the 75-plus content options we've created to do just that. And then give us a call. Now, back to the podcast.
So with this pandemic, one of the things that's come along is a real rise, it seems, in using technologies and processes like queue management and trying to enable access control to limit the number of people coming into a facility or an establishment, a bar, whatever it may be. And it seems like kind of really elevates the idea of using sensor-driven, IoT-driven signage. Are you guys seeing an opportunity there?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, especially in Europe, I mean, there is a very big demand for people-type solutions where, you know, they've got limited capacity and pretty strict rules with respect to, you know, how many people can be in a specific physical space in retail and in restaurants and bars. So definitely seeing, you know, we've got a couple different conversations going with that respect. You know, we've got some retail analytics companies that are already in some of these retail spaces with their retail analytics, and they've got the ability to do that people counting. So from that perspective, it's just a data integration. So they send us the data and we can, you know, we can post how many people are in and count the people coming in and out. We're working on some other different types of technology, not camera related, but utilizing IR sensors to do that people counting function, because it's a significantly cheaper option. So we're working on various different things, definitely seeing a demand for that. The other thing, you know, we're seeing is a demand for some ability to track and trace, you know, especially in the UK right now. You know, there's some sort of government mandate to do that. So, I think there's a lot of these pubs and restaurants that are, you know, doing this by hand, where you're walking into a pub or a restaurant and you're writing down, the bouncer, whoever is writing down who the people are coming in. We've developed a really quick and easy solution where they can hit a QR code that takes them into our system on their phone. They submit their information, that then submits it back to the restaurant. We're not housing any of that data. That's all data for the restaurant, but it allows them to conform to the government regulations in a nice, easy way. And it's not paper driven, which seems, you know, like a 20-year-old technology to me.
Yeah, I would think that's there's going to be some privacy pushback with that, but that's not really your problem. That's up to, well, the government and the venue operators and everybody else to sort out. You're just enabling it, right?
Correct.
So one of the interesting things that I saw about your company was an integration you did with HP. Can you describe what that's all about?
Yeah. So, you know, our investment partner, ImageNet, you know, their core business is sellers and copiers, and they've got a super strong relationship with HP. So HP has developed this this platform called HP WorkPath, you know, and it's essentially a platform that sits in their interface that allows app developers to develop apps, you know, primarily for, you know, actual training, scanning, and copying. But we went to their developer conference last year in Barcelona. And because that user interface is running on an Android tablet, and we've got such a deep integration with Android already, you know, we were able to relatively easily port over our code so that we can run on that HP WorkPath in that HP WorkPath environment. So that tablet right now is a fairly weak piece of hardware. So, you know, we've actually kind of had to dumb down our platform a little bit so that, you know, there's not performance issues. And so, because there's all these things that, you know, these resellers are thinking of to do with terms of data integration and, you know, the ability to send messages back to the service company that the printer has an issue. A lot of that stuff is coming. At this point, it's really more of like a screensaver. So when the printer is not in use, it's scrolling through corporate communication type messaging and that sort of thing. And then it just almost acts like a kiosk. So you touch the screen, our application goes into the background. They're using the printer for, you know, whatever use they're going to use it for. And then after a 30-second or 60-second time frame, it goes back to that screensaver mode.
So what are the kinds of things that you'd want to put on there? I'm sure it goes beyond Happy Birthday, Becky, and you know, it's Taco Tuesday.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that some of it is reminder to do some of the things that they want done to the print. I mean, clean the screen, you know, is a reminder type of a message that we're having, you know, more generic COVID type messages and just office space, you know, protocol. But then also more like how to's, right? So, you know, I mean, certainly I'm probably going to know how to scan a document, but maybe there's something more, you know, unique in terms of what I want to do. If I'm able to put a lot of that information in almost like a kiosk type of environment on the screen itself. So, I mean, ultimately right now we can't do video, but ultimately we can push videos to that so that, you know, if I don't know how to do a particular thing or there's a specific issue with the printer, you know, I can quickly get to that from a informational perspective.
Okay, so because it's an Android tablet device, in some cases pretty small display, but in other ones, you know, decent, you know, Samsung-sized display. The challenge is that the processor doesn't have the horsepower or the version of Android's too old.
That's correct. Yeah, they're using a, you know, I don't even know what version of Android, but I think it's like, you know, 4, and I think we're, what are we up to, 11 now? So But they've got a new gen. It was supposed to be coming out this fall. I'm sure that got delayed. So, you know, thinking sometime in 21. And it's still early for us on the sales side. I mean, we've got, you know, HP, you know, I have weekly meetings with them, and it's even surprising to me how excited they are about this, because I think it's something unique for them. I think it's, you know, something that they can go tout, and, you know, if they're in a competitive deal with another manufacturer, and these copiers, I mean, it's hard to sometimes differentiate what one can do versus the other. You know, if I can do this, it's almost like, you know, it's an icing on the top type of a thing that I can go as a value add to, you know, to win a deal.
You also see it for your company as a bit of a door opener, in that just like meeting room signs lead to more kinds of digital signage around an office space, this might lead to, could you also do meeting room signs? Could you also do, you know, directories or other?
Absolutely. Right. And, you know, and the benefit there is it's all in one ecosystem, right? So it's in one system where they can have their signage, their meeting room signs, you know, communication on their printers, directory. It's not five or six different software vendors, systems that they're managing. You can all do that, you know, in a single instance of Wallboard.
With manufacturing and production facilities, do you see an opportunity with no end kinds of equipment that make stuff or package stuff or whatever, that there's an opportunity to apply sensors to those things to show the state of equipment? I mean, I've been in auto manufacturing plants where there's big bulletin boards filled with printouts of spreadsheets that show the state of different systems, and thought, this is goofy.
You know, yeah.
This is like 1985. But that's the way they were, and you would think that being able to jack into a piece of equipment that, you know, spits out some basic readings on how it's doing, being able to translate on that onto a sign or applying a sensor to it would make a world of difference.
Absolutely. Right. And then making the content more dynamic. So it doesn't just go into a, you know, a Power BI massive dashboard where you have a million pieces of data on one screen and it's just hard to read. You know, you're putting the most content to the screen based on whatever it is. Right. So if system ABC is down, what's coming onto the screen, and it's not, you know, one tiny data point, you know, to try to find amongst a million.
Is it challenging the current environment because you can't travel really very much at all, except locally, to kind of get the word out about what you guys are all about?
Yeah, I mean, I think certainly it's been somewhat challenging. You know, I mean, obviously we were excited about you know, exhibiting at DSE and all that sort of stuff. You know, we made some real headway at ISE and DSE last year. So certainly from that perspective and being able to get out and about, it is more challenging. But, you know, I mean, with what we do in demoing software, that part, you know, we can do virtually. And, you know, a certain part of our day in, day out is more partner acquisition, in not always just in user, you know, selling the end user. And that certainly has been, you know, stayed fairly active over the last 6 months, because, you know, there's a cycle to that. You know, people got to get in our system and learn it and test it. And, you know, that's not always their first priority. And so, you know, we've been able to make a lot of headway with respect to a lot of different types of partnerships, and not necessarily having to slow down so much due to COVID, but no question on the end user side, and we still need screens to be deployed and turned on for license to be ordered. You know, and that certainly, you know, has been slower. Although, I mean, we see the activity picking up. We see, you know, a lot of people saying, you know, we want to start these projects early 2021. So, you know, that's good in terms of that activity. I mean, it's always going to be, I mean, what happens here with COVID is, you know, obviously I can't predict that, but, you know, I'm hopeful that, you know, we're in a stronger position, or the world is going into 2021, which will, you know, make all these conversations that we're having now, you know, come to fruition.
Are there partners who are better suited to what you do? Like, I mean, there are, and kind of local and regional digital signage solutions providers have been around digital signage forever. But I'm thinking because of your technical strength in the IoT side of things, that there are maybe integration partners who don't wake up in the morning thinking purely about digital signage, they're thinking about, you know, other elements, so, you know, all the way to access control systems and things like that.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. I mean, that, you know, that's been a struggle for us, is who is our ideal partner. You know, we can talk to a lot of traditional AV integration firms, and if, you know, if digital signage is the fourth or fifth thing that they sell, and they're really more focused on, you know, all those other things, Crestron, Extra, blah, 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 that's going to be a tougher, I mean, they always love the software.
Sure.
But it's hard for them to, you know, focus on, you know, even building a you know, digital signage, you know, recurring revenue business. That's just not what they do. I mean, they're more transactional in nature, and so they're not waking up thinking about that. But you know, there are other partners that are more boutique digital sign. I mean, this is what they do, and those are the partners that really understand our systems. You know, understand the value of the time savings related to being able to do some things without having to, you know, to custom code and, you know, and another system and band-aid all that stuff together. You know, the partners I think that you know, they're naturally faster at getting it and starting to, you know, starting to scale in terms of, you know, ordering licenses.
Mm. Do you see much of an opportunity just for plain vanilla digital signage that, you know, just, you know, you create some content, you define a playlist, you schedule, you send it out, and you're done. It strikes me as that's the sort of thing that's so easy these days to do that I don't know that it's still going to have much relevance.
I agree. And I mean, that's just going to be a price war at that point. I mean, there's, you know, I can argue that our system and, you know, it's an easy way to do that. And we still have customers that, you know, that's all they want to do. That it's, you know, very difficult to differentiate yourself in that sort of world.
You mentioned Android. Is that the primary platform you're working on, or hardware that you're using?
No, I mean, I think partners. I mean, you know, I think we've got a relationship with BrightSign. We're seeing a lot of new partners that are BrightSign only partners, and you know, like our software and like to be able to do that on the BrightSign in the BrightSign ecosystem. You know, we've got some use cases that need Windows, but there's also the partners that say, hey, I want a cheaper box, and I'm comfortable with Android, and I'm selling to small business that, you know, don't have the security agitation that sometimes comes with Android. So it fits for their business model.
Now, BrightSign is a special purpose box. PCs they seem to be turning into specialty applications in signage just because of their costs and everything. And the market seems to be moving to dedicated boxes and to system on chip. Where do you see things going?
I mean, that's a good question. I, you know, when we built out our system on chip with Samsung and LG, I thought that, you know, that's just where the market would go. And we're seeing some of that, but we're still seeing a lot of people still stick to these dedicated boxes. So, you know, I'm not as focused on the hardware. I mean, I thought what we want to do is, you know, allow our partners and our end users to say, it doesn't matter. Choose your hardware, whatever fits your budget and your use case, but run our software on it. And you know, so we're focused on being able to perform on all those various different, you know, operating systems and hardware components.
Rod, thank you very much for spending some time with me.
Thank you so much, Dave. I really appreciate it. It was a fun conversation.
That's it for this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it and you learned a thing or two. If you're new to 16.9, it's a podcast that's been around since 2016. You can click around the site and find scores of conversations with smart industry folks. If you're new to digital signage, you need to be reading 16.9. That's at 16-9.net. You'll find thousands of posts by me and expert guest writers about this industry. I don't run a press release republishing mill. If something makes it on 16.9, that means it matters in some way to the business. Everything about 16.9 is free. Great sponsors make my work possible, and one of those is podcast sponsor ScreenFeed. Check them out at screenfeed.com. 16.9 is a product of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare room in my house, now located outside Halifax, Nova Scotia, on the east coast of Canada. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.